Well, good evening again. Let's show our appreciation for this band, many of them that are so sleep deprived. Thank y'all so much. They lifted our spirits tonight. Thank you, Ben, for your words of worship leading and reminding us that God can come most any place, anytime, and anywhere to any person. I am reminded this evening of one of the first churches I served. I served four churches when I was a 19-year-old student at then Livingston University. And I would go to these small churches out on the outlying areas from Livingston once a month. And one of those churches, we had seven members and we had 10 in attendance. That was very normal. In fact, seven members, 10 in attendance. That happened almost every time. But it was a challenge preaching because there were two or three of the 10 that were very hard of hearing. And I got the impression they didn't hear anything I said. There was no sound system or anything. And there were some small children among that 10 either. And obviously they did not pay close attention. That left Mr. Steenwinder and I. He sat on the front row about where Ben is. And he was also hard of hearing. But he looked like he was listening as I would preach. And every so often, he would just make these strange noises, and they would just come out. And when he felt like it was time for the sermon to be over, he would just let out this kind of hoarse sound out on the front row. And so I knew when Mr. Steenwinder gave that sound, it was over. Even if I wasn't finished, it was over. Well, tonight I realize that four of you are very sleep deprived and your biggest challenge is probably going to be staying awake. And Ben shared with me, he's sitting on the front row, so he'll stay awake tonight. And so let's see if we can keep everybody awake for a few minutes. This book of James, I've looked forward to this series ever since we identified we were going to focus on the book of James. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible. It has so much to teach us. I'm reminded of when I put together a trampoline for my girls years ago. They were cheerleaders. They wanted a trampoline to practice their stunts. And I don't know if you've ever assembled a trampoline, but when you open the box, it is just so many parts, so many springs. And those springs are so tight, they haven't stretched out yet. But you really have to follow the directions. And you take all of these springs and you take this mat and you have to get the tension just right or it doesn't work. If you skip a spring, it doesn't work. If you get in a hurry and you start putting all your springs on one side, you will not be able to stretch it. You have to follow the directions. But if you do, that trampoline is a wonderful thing. It will give tension and it will give bounce like nothing else. It's a lot of fun putting together a trampoline when you get it right. The book of James is a little bit like that. The writer has a lot of different parts. This is not the kind of book where you're going to have to go to a Bible commentary or search your phone for the meaning of passages. There will be some like that. But his style in writing is very straightforward, and it's teaching. And I believe it teaches us on three different levels. It, first of all, will teach us inwardly. What is there in our life that is conflicted? What is there in our life that is not right that we need to work on? This book will also speak to us about our relationships with other people and how we build them, how we do not build them. It'll help us. It'll give us some straightforward teaching of how we can speak to one another and how we can listen to one another and work and build friendships. And it will help us identify how we can be in ministry in a way that honors God. So there's a lot here. I hope we'll pull from it each week. I want to begin with chapter 1, and pull up some of the teachings from chapter 1. I want us to pray together tonight as we open this Word of God. Thank you, Duke, for reading it to us. It is so powerful. Let us pray together. Dear God, we thank you for as we open your Word, we know that so much can happen in the depths of our soul. We can sometimes feel like you're speaking directly to us. Your Word has that power. So we pray tonight as we open your Word that we will hear what you're saying to us. I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, this first teaching is about faith that is tested. And that's more of our theme for tonight. We're going to be looking at faith throughout the five chapters of James. Tonight, we will focus on the theme, faith tested. And what does that mean when our faith is tested? And what good can happen when our faith is tested? James teaches us that there will be trials. There will be tests in our life. And when they come, it is an opportunity for our perseverance to grow. If we will just persevere when we are tested, we will grow. When we are challenged, it is an opportunity for us to grow. So see test. If any of you are going through tests tonight, if any of you are in the midst of a challenge, see it as an opportunity to grow. So this message of James is about what goes on in the inside of us. How do we respond when there is a test, when there is a challenge? When I was preparing for ministry, I was not particularly a good student, particularly when I started. And I made it through college, Livingston University, BS, a major in history, a minor in political science. You might not have known that. And I would have taken religion, but they didn't have any at Livingston. So history and political science were the best options that I had. I then went from there to Emory University and earned my master's degree and did a little bit better work there. And there was someone that told me about halfway through my Emory journey that I shouldn't have been a candidate for a doctorate of ministry. And you know, sometimes when people tell you what you can't do, it makes you want to do it. And that's what happened to me. It kind of woke me up and it made me think, like, they don't think I can do it. So several years after I finished my master's degree, I was accepted at Wesley Theological Seminary in Washington, D.C., and to be a part of a D-Men. And so I started my work there. But when I got in that work there on campus, I was with some people that were from Ivy League schools, and I was very intimidated. And I went home my first time after spending time on campus, very discouraged. And I talked to a gentleman about this. I said, you know, I thought I was supposed to go and pursue a doctorate of ministry, but I just don't know if I can do it. I shared with him my story, my intimidation. And he said, Bill Berryman, you don't need to worry about that. All you need to do is to persevere, and you will grow, and you'll earn this degree, which is what happened. Unbelievable, considering where I started as a student, that the Lord helped me to grow and to persevere. And there were trials, and there were tests, literally. I'm saying that to you tonight. I don't know in what areas you feel challenged and tested, but God wants us to use those occasions to grow. He wants us to grow in our perseverance. He wants us to make it through these trials and these tests and glorify Him. A second teaching in this book of James is a teaching, if we need wisdom, ask God. Now that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? There are many days where I need wisdom. And where should I go first? To the Lord. The Lord is generous with His wisdom. He wants to share it with us, and He will give it to you. So if any of you are going through a situation in life where you just don't know what to do, ask the Lord. Ask for His wisdom. Ask for His guidance, and He wants to give it to you. Now, the teaching here goes a little further. It says that we must be devoted to the Lord first and most of all for this to really happen. And it talks about a double-minded person here. That a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. So if we're conflicted, if we say that God is the most important person in our life, but we live something else, we're conflicted. It's not going to produce this knowledge that leads us to God's wisdom. So we have to decide that we're going to follow God most of all. If we're conflicted, we're unstable in all our ways, like the waves out in the sea. The waves are back and forth, and if we're back and forth, it's not going to be the same. But the challenge here from the book of James is don't be double-minded. Be single-minded. Be single-focused on the Lord. And if you seek wisdom when you're single-minded, He's going to give it to you. He wants to share His wisdom with you. Another teaching that comes out of this first chapter is that if we will persevere through our trials, the Lord wants to bless us for making it through those trials. And so He will bless those who endure this time of testing. Hang in there. Keep going. Keep moving forward because the Lord wants to bless you for your perseverance. I have a watch that I received at Christmas time, and it'll do a lot of neat things. I think I only know about half of the things it'll do, but I'm still learning. And I thought, I didn't know my watch will do that. It helps me find my phone when I lose it. It has some neat features. I do run, and when I get out to run, I usually run about 5 or 6 miles. But my watch, I've not adapted the settings of the watch to my lifestyle. And so I kind of like it though. My watch, when I'm running at the 1.5 minute mark, I've hardly left the house. And it says, you're halfway to your goal. I like that. And then 1.5 minutes later, it'll say, you have reached your goal. And it throws a little party on my phone. And I'm thinking, I don't know that I want to change the setting. That's good to get that much affirmation for doing so little. But the promise of the book of James is, if we will patiently endure the testing, the Lord will bless us. And there's another distinction here about the Lord doesn't tempt us. Sometimes we say things like that, the Lord must be tempting me. No. Satan, the evil one, tempts us. The Lord tests us. The Lord wants us to grow. And so He tests us, especially when we move into those seasons of complacency. The Lord's going to test us because He doesn't want us just to be complacent. He wants to bring out the best in us for Him. Well, there's another teaching that follows from the book of James. And this is one you're not going to forget tonight. I don't know that you'll remember everything else I say, but you're going to remember this one. And this is more about our relationship with other people. James has a lot of teachings here that help us in our relationship. It says you must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Think about that. It builds relationships. James, way back when he wrote these words, was writing so that we would relate to each other properly. Sometimes we must listen. In fact, I think this is a three-step plan. How do we improve our relationships? How can we build better relationships? Here's a three-step plan. Listen first. Be quick to listen. When you listen to someone, ask them after they say what they're saying, I hear you saying, and repeat back what you heard them saying. It'll change the relationship. And then be slow to speak, particularly when we move to judgment or giving advice that a person may not want to hear. Be slow to speak, and then slow to get angry. An angry person, James teaches us, is not a righteous person. So if we're living with anger all the time, we're not righteous, according to the book of James. Many years ago, I was driving, and I was in a hurry. And when I drove, I didn't realize that I drove the wrong way into a turn lane that was moving the other way. And I was thinking, it's okay because nobody else is coming. I was wrong. By the time I could make the turn, somebody did come. And it was a woman. I guess she looked 100 years old. I was surprised she was still driving. But my goodness, did she unload her anger at me. And she gave me that one finger wave. I'll never forget that. I don't think I'll ever be able to get that image out of my head. And I was clearly in the wrong. All I could say was to mouth the words, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. It didn't seem to help. But isn't it amazing how if we pass somebody on the sidewalk, we'll say, how you doing? Good morning. Have a good day. If we're in the elevator with somebody, we'll look up at the ceiling and we may not even acknowledge they're in there with us. And if we are on the road, we might let our anger get the best of us. I don't fully understand that. But James teaches us these key relational pieces. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. My wife and I, we've been married 33 years now. And I'm still working on this in our conversations together. Because sometimes Karen wants me to listen. Just listen. Don't say anything. Listen. Ben, you're getting married. This might be good to tune in if you're still awake. I don't need you to do anything, but just listen. There's other days where I go fully into that listening mode, and then 10 minutes later, she'll say, you're not saying anything. Are you even caring about this conversation? And so I'm hoping if we're married 50 years, maybe I'll get that balance right. But James was into some good advice here, wasn't he? Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Well, there's one other passage that there's a couple of passages I'll highlight. One that's kind of a centerpiece of this whole book of James that comes out of chapter 1. And this is this whole notion of saying something and then not doing it. James says faith without works is dead. So if we have faith, it's going to impact the way we behave. It's going to impact our deeds. They go together. And in this first chapter, it is compared to a person who looks in the mirror. They see the reflection of their face, but as soon as they walk away, it's as if they do not remember what they saw or what they looked like. And this opens up the teaching about we need to have integrity. If we say one thing and do another, it's like looking in the mirror and walking away and forgetting who we are and being a different person than we think we are. When I was a child, about 4 years old, I was playing hard in a living room area in our home, and I lost control and I fell, and I hit the back of my head on a edge of a coffee table. It was very sharp, and there was a severe gash in the back of my head, and they had to take me to my parents to the emergency room. And it seemed like the longest time as the doctor was sewing my head back up with stitches. And so when I got home, I was dying to know what the back of my head looked like. So I went into the bathroom mirror. I got on the little place I could see up at my height. And then I started doing this. I turned around real quick to see if I could see the back of my head. And then I just kept working at it. And my father, I thought he was going to die laughing. It had been a stressful night. And he showed me the trick of using a second mirror and to see the back of my head. But I probably would have still been there had my father not come in. But James says, when we hear the word of God and we do not put it into action, it's like a person that looks in the mirror, they see themselves, but as soon as they walk away, they forget the person they're supposed to be. Two more teachings real quick. One is, we're going to talk more about this on the week three. There's a warning here about the tongue and the damage it can do. In fact, the tongue, our words, can do more damage than anything else. James is going to make that case. The tongue is a small member of our body, but it's the most powerful. Words can hurt. Words can hinder. Words can discourage. Words can distort the truth and tell outright lies. Words can destroy people. And James says that this shouldn't be so. And so here's what verse 1 says, or chapter 1 says. If you claim to be religious, but you don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Now, this is a straightforward book, but if our talking about other people and the way we use this gift of speech is hurting, we're just fooling ourselves to think that we're practicing religion. And finally, James teaches us that those who are religious have a genuine religion. Those are the ones that impact the world. Those are the ones who care about the widows and the orphans. Because we're not just good for Christ for our own purposes. We are to walk with Christ so that we can help other people. And James makes this point. Genuine religion is going to impact other people. Through the Bible, we find that God always blesses those who bless the orphans, who bless the widows, and who bless the children. Look through the Old Testament and you'll find those teachings. That's why we support the children's home at Christmas time. That's why we remember those who are orphans. Because we have been called through the years to make a difference to those who are in the gaps. Over the past couple of weeks, we've heard this debate and we've heard this stress of families being separated. And it's tugged at our heartstrings. And I don't think it's helpful for us to point fingers. That's another part of the teaching of James. But I do think what it calls for us here is to put our faith into action, to love the orphans, to love the widows, to love those families that are under duress and are in trouble. That's what the scripture says. So even the book of James addresses what's going on in our country today to be with those, to help those who are in trouble. Let's have a prayer together. Dear God, we thank you that your teaching is so straightforward in the book of James. And tonight, I pray that if there's anyone here who needs to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that they might just open their lives up to receive you as both Lord and Savior of their lives. If there's anyone here tonight who has made the commitment that you are Lord and Savior, but have been stuck and have been ready to take that next step in their walk of discipleship, I pray that they'll take that step. And help all of us here tonight to persevere. Help us to ask you because you want to give us your knowledge. Help us to persevere. Help us to know the blessings of persevering, even if the blessings don't come until we're in heaven. We thank you for the promise of your blessings. Help us to have integrity, to be the person that you teach us to be, not with just words, but also with actions. Help us to be slow to speak, slow, quick to listen, and slow to anger. And help us to be mindful of those who are in the gaps, widows, orphans, the children. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.